head Clemson men's basketball coach, Brad Brownell. Coach, we appreciate you taking time with us. Welcome back. It's about that time, Coach.
Yeah. Just finished our first practice tonight.
Let's go. Good, because we have all sorts of questions. You know, the people need to know, Coach. And there are more questions about this team than any other, but the answers are so interesting this time around, too. Let me ask you about that. You know, you've had some continuity in recent years. You've had some carryover in recent years. You don't have quite as much with this team. There are a lot of new pieces. Is your biggest challenge to figure out how to mix and match all these pieces and blend the component parts with these players and their relative strengths together?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it for sure. I think the other part is just, you know, implementing all the things that you want to get in stylistically, and there's just so many different guys that get, you know, seeing who knows what. You know, we've started working on stuff, obviously, this summer and how quickly they grasp things. And then, obviously, you've got to make some adjustments throughout, you know, the early part of the season as a coach as you're figuring out what your guys are good at, things you think you might be a little bit, you know, better at and then you aren't, or, hey, we might be a little better at this and we need to kind of gear our offense or defense a little more that way. So it's just kind of, it's reading your personnel a little bit, and it's really seeing how much they can pick up information, how quickly, and still play with some freedom.
Let me start with this. Let me start with a question on the schedule, and we'll get into some of this personnel. A lot of tournaments. You're in you're playing the Shriners Tournament. You're in the ACC-SEC Challenge. You're in the Jimmy V Classic. You're in the Greenville Winter Invitational. So you're playing a bunch of quality teams. Next year you get to go to Hawaii, right? And then you get the strange element, Coach. I mean, I don't know if you ever imagined this, that you'd be coaching the ACC and you'd have 3 days away playing at Stanford and Cal. I mean,
yeah, that's a different one for sure. And then coming back out of it is probably just as hard because It just seems like the teams last year didn't do very well when they got back off that trip. So we're going to have to try to do some research on that and figure it out.
And then later in the year, you've got a relatively difficult extended stretch where you're playing at Duke and you're playing Louisville and you're playing at North Carolina. What did you think of the schedule overall?
You know, I really don't get too into it. ACC-wise, I mean, I've just been doing it so long that, you know, you got to play who you got to play. I always, you know, my first look is always how many games do we have without students, right? And then, like, how many Saturday games do we have? And, you know, some years are worse than others. Sometimes there's some really difficult stretches right away. We've had some years here where we've, you know, it felt like the first five games were just murderer's row. But it's fine. Like, it, you know, it all works itself out after the, you know, you work through 18 games. I'm fine with it. You know, that seems like so far down the road right now that we've got a lot of work to do just to get ready for the first one.
You know, everyone talks about how well you've done the transfer portal and how you've been able to get these guys to adjust, and there's no question that's true. But it's also true that all these first-team all-league guys have all been high school players that you recruited, and you are on a historical run from a Clemson basketball standpoint in terms of producing those guys. Is Zach Foster the next guy in line for that type of ability, that type of talent?
Yeah, I think he has that kind of talent for sure. You know, we're optimistic. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do between now and then, but I think he has potential. Who knows? Maybe a Chase Thompson has that kind of potential. Even a Trent Steinauer, you never know. I mean, Ace Buckner, a redshirt guy. You know, it's hard to know at this young age, but I really like our young group. I think those guys are talented. I think they're competitive. They've had great work ethic for young guys so far. They've probably come in a little physically bigger and stronger than, you know, some of the other, you know, previous freshmen. So I think that's helped. You know, now it's what that's really done is it's made our practices really competitive. You know, right now I don't know that we have an all ACC player on this team. I think that's, you know, to be seen yet. But I do like our depth. I do think we can play 10, 11 guys in an ACC game and they can contribute. And so we're going to try to, you know, adjust accordingly. I think that's partly on me as a staff and our staff to figure out how best to utilize our depth. If those guys keep practicing well and seem to handle the rigors of the day-to-day, that's what we haven't done yet, is it's like day-after-day grind. If the freshmen can hold up through that, then I think, you know, you'll see us playing 10 guys, and those guys will be out there for double-figure minutes in certain games, and then you'll know more.
All right. I knew you were going to talk about Chase Thompson based on a conversation we had in the past, and I want to get to him. That did not sneak up on me, but the mention of Ace Buckner did sneak up on me a little bit. I was expecting a defensive stopper, a guy was going to play who's going to get minutes in that role as a defensive stopper. Are you telling me already that maybe there's more to expect from Ace Buckner?
Yeah, I think the thing that I've been so impressed with is just his competitive fight. I think he's just, you know, those of you that saw his dad, I would probably not be surprised, because he's got an offensive swagger about him. He's got an overall confidence about him that he's in attack mode a lot. I mean, he's just, you know, he's probably not a prototypical, you know, position guy right now. He's just kind of an old school guard. I think he can do a couple different things. Like, he play with the ball some. I think he can score some. I think he guards the ball well, which you alluded to. You know, I think he's physically, he's made a lot of improvements in a year, and he's gotten himself physically pretty strong. And because he's just got no quit in him, he's going to be a competitive guy that's going to find his way onto the court for us this year for sure.
Awesome. How is Carter Welling's health? He had a foot issue, if I remember. What's his status?
Yeah, he's back practicing now. He, you know, today was first practice. He's been working with us really kind of since September. Most of September, he's been out here. He's, you know, he was put on some pounds, as you would expect, by not being able to work out, you know, in June, July, and August. So kind of the first part of it was, hey, we got to get some of the weight off, and we just got to get him getting up and down the floor and make sure he's handling his weight well. You know, he's got to get with the nutritionist and work on all those things, and he's done that. His weight is starting to come down. He's been able to do extra conditioning on the bike and different things like that to try to mix it up. And I think he's, you know, the biggest thing is he just doesn't have quite as much familiarity with our system because he didn't get any of the summer work. He's really just been doing things here the last, you know, 3 weeks or so, and he's making nice progress, you know. As long as there's no hiccups, I'm optimistic he'll be fine for the first game and ready to go.
Now, you know, athletically, I mean, from what I've seen on film, he is a unique athlete at 6'10". I would think one of the better athletes that you've had at that size. I know he was Defensive Player of the Year in his conference. You know, what I wondered about him, if he's at full health, Victor Locken, as opposed to PJ, gave you really sort of a unique ball screen coverage guy. You could do a lot of things with. He could extend. He could recover. Can Carter Welling give you some of that when he's fully healthy and integrated?
Yeah, I think that's what we're trying to see right now. I think we're trying to evaluate, can he do that consistently? We're optimistic, you know, but until he's doing it on a continuous basis and until he's in shape enough to sustain it, that's kind of to be determined. But we're hopeful that that's where it is. He is a big, strong kid. He's got kind of a PJ Hall body type, so he's a bigger, stronger, you know, more physical guy than maybe Victor. Victor, I think, because of his long limbs, he was able to poke balls away and do different things just because of his length. He probably does not have quite the length, but he's got more physicality and strength.
Nick Davidson, a guy who's sort of the Danny Ferry lookalike, and, you know, he really does. He reminds me of him. Can he play like Danny Ferry? He does have some of those offensive traits, Coach. I don't want to get carried away, but he's got a little. People wanted him.
You know what I like about him? I think he's just kind of a pure basketball player. Quintessential, like, can dribble, pass, and shoot, do a little bit of everything. You know, he doesn't wow you with super athleticism or anything like that, but he's just a good basketball player. I think he knows how to pass the ball. He can make an open three. He can score with his back to the basket. He's just one of those, like, I hope he's just one of those security blanket type guys that you just trust to do a lot of different things, inbound the ball, you know, play out of the high post and himself or his teammates. More experienced defensively, which I think is helpful for us. There's some worry there. We've got a lot of younger, newer guys, and sometimes defensively, it's guys don't understand nuances. And I think he does. He understands, hey, a guy's getting ready to run up and slip. He's really not going to set the screen, and you don't have to jump out and hedge it. And if you do, you're going to get beat if you hedge it. And so just kind of there's just some basketball IQ stuff that I think he has a better feel laid more than some of the other guys that we have. And so I'm hopeful that that's going to show itself. I think it will.
You know, the last time we spoke, you dropped Chase Thompson's name, and that sent me scurrying back to the film again to go back and watch him. And he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota. And what you see on film is just how versatile a player is. I don't think he was one of the more heralded names that was associated with these last couple of classes. But when you watch him play, you begin to understand it. I mean, he can play it at every level. His body type, do you imagine he gives you a little of that Ian Shefflin toughness that you lost as well?
Yeah, I think there's he probably moves better than Ian.
Right.
A better, like,
perimeter player,
dribbler, passer type, away from the basket guy. But he is, you know, he's 223 or 224, 222. He's right in that area. Like, he's put on a couple pounds. He came big, got big legs. I mean, he's just a big, strong kid, and for a freshman, and moves around really well. You know, obviously, I think he passes it pretty well. Obviously, being a high school quarterback, he just has some natural instincts that are good. Certainly there's things he doesn't know defensively, and, you know, he's got to be more consistent as a shooter. And there's, you know, he's probably never been a full-time basketball player, to be honest with you. He's always played a lot of football too. And so, you know, we sometimes like guys like that because we feel like, hey, once we get them in our program and we start working on with them just on basketball, you know, 12 months a year, like there's still development there. There's big growth potential. And I think he's showing us that, you know, here from – this is his fourth month being with us. And so we've already seen some things that we're really excited about. Obviously, we identified him right away as a really good player and somebody that we definitely wanted and recruited really hard.
Let me ask you about Justin Porter in terms of what he needs to do on the defensive end to be an impact player offensively.
Yeah, he's got to get into the ball. You know, he's a little small, and so there's going to be some times when that can be problematic. But he's got to be a little bit of a gnat and just get up into the ball and bother the dribbler and you know, be one of those pest-type players that just kind of bothers guys. You know, offensively, he's a really good shooter. I think he shot over 40% from three so far in all of our scrimmage action. So when he gets an open shot, we feel like he's going to make it. That's a good thing for our team. But yeah, he's got to get used to, you know, playing at this level. Guards are a little bigger, a little stronger, a little faster, consistently and defensively. He's got to adjust to that. You know, and he's one of those guys, like a lot of the guys I've talked to on our team, like, hey guys, there's every position is open for competition. And the way I see it, there's going to be a lot of jockeying throughout the year. There's going to be a lot of substituting. There's going to, you know, you're going to have to really earn it through your work and productivity. And, you know, so that's part of what's really good about practices here is guys are going after each other.
I have to take a quick break. Can you stay with me a few more minutes?
Yep.
All right, quick break.
Yes, sir.
I'm joined by Clemson head men's basketball coach Brad Brownell. Walt Tip Tula Road Rage, quick break.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit
She can dance like a little Egypt.
Waltip Tula Road Rage. We are back, and we're rejoined by Clemson men's basketball coach Brad Brownell. Coach, I appreciate you hanging in there with us. Just a few more questions, and we'll let you go. We appreciate the time, as usual. Buddy Johnson, a bigger guard, can shoot the ball. He, as I recollect watching UAB play, there was a lot of one-pass or even no-pass offense. How is he adjusting to life as a Clemson basketball player?
Yeah, I think he's doing fine. You know, like his ability to move without the ball and kind of get shots off quickly. I think he's kind of an athletic shooter, so he's got more size than maybe a JP. You know, he's been a little streaky at times. That's kind of been his deal all throughout his career. But he can make two or three in a row when he gets rolling. You know, I like his size, and I like that he's experienced. I think he can play a couple different positions for us, and, you know, he'll be competitive at you know, especially at the threesome with Jake Waleen and Dallas Thomas and some of those guys, and he may sneak some minutes in there at the two if we play a bigger guard.
I was just going to ask you about that, and Dallas Thomas and Jake Waleen competing for playing time at the three. So those two guys and maybe even Buddy Johnson if you go small.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, Bud is pretty close to 6'4", so, you know, it like anything, there are times I think playing three guards is good. And his speed and ability to shoot on the move, I think, are things that he brings to our team.
Let me ask you about two other key guys, and these are veteran players. R.J. Godfrey returns to Clemson. He gave you some athletic explosiveness, you know, a completely different skill set and body type than you had with Chauncey Wiggins. You know, if you could combine those two, you really would have something. But RJ being back gives you a little toughness, a little physicality.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it gives you another front court athlete, maybe a little more bounce than like Nick.
Yeah.
Davidson and you know, RJ, we could have used RJ last year. That would have been great, especially probably in a game like McNeese, where it's kind of some undersized guys that are, you know, bothering you with their speed and quickness. And you know, he has some of that. And he also has big, strong, you know, physical body where he can play through guys and get to that left shoulder and score through guys with contact. He can drive the ball from the high post if they're pressuring. It's great to have him back. I mean, the guy just brings unbelievable positive energy every day. He smiles, and he's just happy to be here. And loves coming to the gym every day and working and being a Clemson Tiger. And it's just fun to have him around.
You know, it was obvious to all who watched Clemson basketball last year how much Dylan Hunter had improved. What wasn't obvious to all was just how much he would be missed if he was lost. It was clear. Just a completely different basketball team without Dylan Hunter. One, is his hand healed? Is he full go? And how important is all of his experience and toughness and all these things, traits he brings to the table, how important are those ingredients to this basketball team that lacks experience in some areas?
Yeah, it is. Yes, he's healthy, which is great, and he is important just because he's been in our system. He's been in all these ACC arenas. He's been in the, you know, he's been in the environments that we're going to get thrown into. And he knows me. And so he knows how we do things. I think he knows what is expected. And, you know, he doesn't need to do anything drastically different. You know, we want him to make open shots. We want him to run our team with a good assist turnover ratio.
Right.
We want him to guard that ball hard. And we just want him to be able to settle our team down. You know, when things get a little chaotic, you need some guys on your team that can just settle things down and understand, hey, we're okay. We got to play through this. And, you know, that's what an older guard should bring to your team, and hopefully he'll do that for this one.
You know, I'm just looking at the Clemson Tigers site and looking at Dylan Hunter. It just occurred to me for the first time, he looks a little like Rip Hamilton.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he looks a little like.
Yeah, he absolutely does.
Yeah. Hey, Coach,
I don't think he shoots it like that. He doesn't shoot it like Rip Hamilton. I wish he did, but
he has improved, though.
He'll be here.
He has improved, though. I mean, he's improved.
No doubt.
Obviously, when you see a kid like Dylan, who improves in all the areas he has, you know he works at it. And both, you know, and I think that's been clear because he's now a competent shooter that you can't just ignore. And I think at one point, you know, I don't think we expected that, did we?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember telling him as a freshman, you know, he didn't have any confidence in his shot, and I just told him your stroke is not as bad as what you think it is, and maybe what people are telling you, like you know, but it's not going to matter if we can't get you to believe in it. And the best way to do that is we got to work, and we got to make one or two small tweaks, and then you got to get in the gym, and you know, you got to shoot through it. And you know, for 3 years, he's never been a guy that we've needed to like go be a primary scorer. That's not what we wanted him to do, and that's not what he was asked to do on last year's team. In fact, you know, we really didn't want him looking for shots. We want him to just do what he does, which is find other guys and be a good facilitator and run the team. And then when open shots find him, take them. And I don't know if people remember, he's the guy that Chase Hunter, we ran a late ball screen when it was tied, you know, with maybe a minute and change to go in the middle of the floor, and Chase threw a hook pass to his brother over there in front of our bench, and he knocked it down to give us the 3-point lead against Duke with a minute to go. And so he's made some big shots like that in his career. He had a game at Florida State last year where he made multiple threes and helped us win. So he can make an open shot. There's for, you know, we're confident in that. And but he's not a scorer per se. He's not going to all of a sudden start averaging 18 points a game or anything like that. We just need him to be the best version of himself and give this team confidence and be a steady hand. And I think that's really important.
And cut the head off as a relentless on-ball defender, which obviously he's done all throughout his career. That toughness and that ability to guard, which I know is something you need in what you do. Hey, Coach, always great speaking with you. I think it was time for people to get a primer. This is going to be a really interesting season with all these parts that you're going to be tasked with blending together. I can't wait to see how this all turns out. Just out of curiosity. Do you have any idea? Because people always ask this question. I mean, I can make some guesses, but I'm not going to. And I think some of this is going to be based on.
No, I know where you're going. No, I don't have any idea who's starting. I don't have any idea. It's all up for grabs. Competition is a great thing.
There you go. Hey, Coach, thanks so much. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Walt. Okay, buddy. Good
to
see you.
That's funny. Yeah, see, I knew he would answer it that way, but people ask that question and they want to make suggestions at this point. He says, no, man, it's all up in the air. It's completely up in the air. And I think it's true. I really do. I don't think he knows at this point. I think it's way too soon. There are just too many new pieces. One thing I am pretty sure of, though, you know, as we discuss this team, I'm pretty sure of these things. I'm pretty sure that Zach Foster is a unique talent and that he could be the next great high school player that becomes a star under Brad Brownell. I'm also pretty sure that Chase Thompson is a guy that Brad loves, not likes, loves. I'm telling you right now, this dude might be Brad's favorite player because you're talking about a guy who's 6'8", played football. He's like 223, 224 as a freshman, all right? So he gives you some of the Ian toughness, some of that ingredient, which is evident when you watch him play, but he's far more versatile on the perimeter. He has a much more versatile perimeter game. He can put it on the ground. He can face up. He can pass it. You know, he can do a lot of these other things. He's not, you know, just a low block player. Ian was a force. And Chase isn't going to be that type of force from day one. But you have to remember, you sort of have to compare him at the same point in their development. And it's just clear to me that Brad, in fact, what he said was, this is a guy that we really wanted, that we recruited really heavily. We really wanted him. Brad clearly thinks that this is a guy they got a steal on.